Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It is Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We are giving away these Raven scratch-offs, hopefully a luckier brand than the 1-4 brand of football that we have. You can find all of that information up at Baltimore Positive. We got a date coming up at Coco's in early November, as well as getting back out to Costas, not this week, but soon. It is my birthday week. It's a baseball week, and it's a week we're going to do everything we can do to not talk about the Los Angeles Rams or this really lousy football team right now. Luke Jones joins us now. This is the beginning of a long conversation we're going to have about where the franchise is and where the injuries are and whatever that was on Sunday in losing 44-10. Embarrassment, all-time low. There's a new band. They didn't play halftime, but they could have. I don't know what to say. I'm going to give you the floor, Luke. I read your blog at Baltimore Positive.
Yeah, and I think it's important, as ugly as it was, as embarrassing as it was, as much as I think the concerns do run deeper than the injuries, it's important to acknowledge the massive list of injuries that they have had over the last couple weeks, beginning with Matt Ebike out for the year, but continuing with the guys that were on the inactive list on Sunday. I mean, you're without Lamar Jackson. You end up being out without Ronnie Stanley and Kyle Hamilton, who are questionable, and they end up being down on Sunday. You're without Roquan Smith. You're without Marlon Humphrey. You're without Patrick Ricard again. You're without Chidobe Awuzie. So that's a lot. And I think even for dummies like me who picked the Ravens to win, when I found out Hamilton and Stanley were both down, in addition to the guys that were ruled out, I would have flipped my pick at that point in time. But I think because of the manner in which the loss occurred, two hard truths apply here. The first one I've already stated, they're absolutely decimated by injuries over these last couple weeks. The silver lining is that they're not all season-ending injuries, right? And we're going to talk about this football game against the LA Rams coming into town here this Sunday. And we're going to talk about the bye week and the opportunity to right themselves from a health standpoint, and what that can mean for the rest of the season, because there is still a lot of season left over. But the other truth, and this is the more alarming one, this is the more disconcerting one for me, because of what I said, because most of these players are going to be back and should be back in the near future, whether it's this week or the week after the bye, right? It's the utter lack of fight. I think back to some of the most impressive coaching efforts from John Harbaugh over the years often came at times when expectations had kind of gone out the door for any number of reasons. Injuries, I think back to Ryan Mallett leading the Ravens to a win over the Steelers late in the 2015 season, when the roster was, kind of like it was on Sunday, unrecognizable in a lot of ways, and a lot of rookies and backups and guys like that playing. I think back to
They
2000.
competed with Tyler Huntley for the most
Oh,
part when he
I
played,
was getting
right?
to that. Yeah, I mean, go back to the COVID game in 2020, right? I mean, in Pittsburgh, the game that was postponed three times, and the roster looked like a JV roster on both sides of the ball, quite frankly. And the Ravens gave Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers everything they could handle in that game. It was a pesky effort where, putting aside all the COVID stuff and protocols and all that stuff, there was it was a competitive football game still, despite Robert Griffin III running around at quarterback in what I believe was his last NFL game, if I'm not mistaken. 2021, they lost, and they lost, what, five, six in a row to end that season, with Lamar hurt, with so many guys on the defense out for the season. But they played the Packers to a 1-point loss. They played the Rams, who ended up winning the Super Bowl, what, 5 weeks later, 6 weeks later, in a 1-point loss, or I don't know if 1-point loss or think overtime, actually. Either way, another close game. And I mean, there was none of that fight on Sunday. I mean, that game was hapless, listless. I mean, guys were tried to walk carefully, tread carefully in terms of questioning effort of their teammates, coaches. John Harbaugh didn't want to question the effort per se, but clearly everyone was wildly disappointed with the performance. I mean, they took the field and they did not play from Jump Street. They did not play like a team that had any meaningful, tangible belief that they were going to win that football game on Sunday. And it's one thing to lose to the Chiefs in the way they did at Arrowhead last week. It's one thing to lose to the Lions, who we've seen at least in the last couple regular seasons, them be an elite NFC team. Houston was 1-3. They had an offensive line that, go look at Pro Football Focus's offensive line rankings. They had them 31st going into the year, and you still couldn't run the ball, and you still couldn't protect, right? And I mean, it's just, it was really, really, really bad. And I think two truths can apply here. Yes, the injuries are 1,000% a factor, and we can't be disingenuous to ignore that, because that's a major part of this. In the same way that we talked about that with the Orioles for large chunks of the 2025 season. But I can't ignore that showing. I can't ignore the lack of fight that they showed, because especially on defense, as you're talking now, Nestor, believe it or not, and you probably do believe it, but it's still amazing to think about it. The 2025 Ravens have already allowed more points than the 2000 defense did for an entire season. That in 5 games, they've eclipsed the points allowed that the 2000 Ravens finished with. But that was already trending in an alarming direction. And on offense, you know, I'm not giving those guys a pass either. We get it. Lamar's out. Ronnie Stanley's out. You're certainly not expecting anything close to an optimal peak kind of performance.
But Cooper Rush is supposed to be a National Football League quarterback,
Yeah,
right?
and you're supposed to have an offensive line that can block. They still couldn't run the ball.
Who was the guy
They still
playing
didn't
left
protect.
tackle? I mean,
Joe Noop, Nope Boom, you know, the replacement for Patrick McCary. I mean, and he's not a second year guy. He's been around in the league. I'm not saying he's a high quality backup necessarily, but he started games and he's played in the league. But I mean, that offense, they put together a solid opening drive to get a field goal, you know, after Houston had marched down the field. So it's 7-3, and you're saying, okay, that I can live with that, you know, as long as that's not it. Well, it was it until late in the third quarter, right? When the game was already completely out of hand. So, I mean, it was just bad. It was bad in all three
dude,
phases.
on TV, to watch the place completely empty out, like when the fans have quit on you, right? Like,
Oh,
just, we're going home, goodbye. This
and
is not
I
even worth my 78-degree day.
well, I was just going to say they wasted everyone's 78-degree day. I mean, quite frankly, I mean that performance, they wasted the fans' time. I mean, that was bad. It was really bad. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I think I said it to someone sitting near me in the press box when it really, really started to empty out. It's like, man, I'm kind of surprised as many fans that held on as long as they did. I mean, it speaks to the passion of this fan base. And for this football team. But man, you talk about below the bar. And look, I mean, John Harbaugh didn't mince words when he said that we got beaten every way you can get beat. Just a complete disappointment. You know, we can get into him being asked about Zach Orr and coaching changes, but they all know how lousy that performance was. And Kyle Van Noy said it best. No. That we can't use injuries as an excuse when we just saw the Niners go to LA last Thursday night, decimated themselves by injuries, and they pulled off a win. The Ravens lost by 3, by 7, they lost by 10 points, you know, in a game
I
where
picked
you.
them to lose 27-17. That was my pick. And I picked that on Houston radio on Friday, so that I
Yeah.
went with it on Sunday.
And that's fine. And if that were the manner in which they lost, I'm not going to sit here and have great surprise or even necessarily bury them beyond just the ramifications of 1-4 because of how injured they were on
Well, I
Sunday.
expected them to lose. I
Yeah,
mean, you know, right from jump.
right.
That doesn't happen much, but I
Sure.
expected them to lose.
And you know, you could the optimist, and there aren't many right now, would try to say, well, a loss is a loss. It still counts as one. It doesn't count as two. In the win-loss department. But man, the eyeball test, the smell test, all of that, boy, that was bad on Sunday. And you start to question when something is that bad and it's trended the way it has these last 3 weeks now. We think back to Detroit and how the second half played out there. and then in Kansas City, how that game was trending even before Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey and Lamar Jackson left the game. And now to see this against another 1-3 team that certainly has its own flaws, and to get completely blown out on your home field, I am going to question everything. I am going to question the leadership in terms of both the coaching staff and the veteran players on the team. I am going to question, and this is where Eric DaCosta can't get a pass. Man, even the most sugar-coated kind of way that you could paint this, man, that talk about this Ravens team having the best and deepest roster in the NFL sounds completely silly when you play like that. If
Well,
you
when there's
actually.
nobody you can circle. So this is, by the way, Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke. He'll be out in Owings Mills all week. The Rams are coming. The Ravens stink. Watching them on television in the purple Barney outfits and the, like what they are, and thinking that's the Ravens, right? Okay. Now, all the names out. We see Lamar with more gold on, you hanging off of him. He's in the sidelines. Roquan's got the muscles. He's next to him. Kyle Hamilton, very clear, got the little earpiece in, seeing that. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing on
Sure.
television in street clothes. And I'm saying, all right, who's playing for that guy? 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 And what do they have to do with Ravens history, the Ravens way, any of that to look any different than what they look like, which were the little magnets on the, on the old magnetic football thing, just moving around and saying, who's that guy? Who's that guy? Who's that guy? And then expecting them to play. It was kind of like a preseason game in that way. Like, all
Yeah.
right, guys are flying around and they're in position and they're wearing awkward numbers and what can I expect out of those guys? Now, I'll say this. You talked about days of Ravens yore where the Harbaugh administration would get an injury. I remember Anthony Levine, and I only bring him up because I saw him on the sidelines and I kind of forgot he was a part of the operation because they locked me out and I can't even talk to the people that I actually know, including Chuck Pagano. But Anthony Levine, I saw his face and I'm like, oh yeah, he must be back from like Tennessee. Did he take a gig in Tennessee? I was like, yeah, he's coaching, right? And everybody down on Zach Orr. He's got no players, right? So I don't know who these guys are. And you say coach him up, coach him up, coach him up. But I do remember when there was a depth thing here where there would be long-term special team players that at least know the playbook that you could Greg Madison could grab or, any of these guys could install them in. And at least the guy has played scout team a couple of years, looked around a couple of years, has sort of studied some tape of what Joe Burrow might be doing or the better quarterbacks in the league. This is a pretty green effort, right? I mean, amongst the names of the players out there, when I look at who made tackles and who's out there running around, it's these aren't people that have been with the program a long time. And they're not people that I would say that you always use that Tom Moore quote. For those who don't know, Tom Moore was a longtime offensive line coach and wizard behind the Indianapolis Colts and offensive coordinator with Peyton Manning, just saying if he's gone, we're screwed. Well, dude, if you were to tell me, I would have told you if you lose Stanley, you're kind of screwed, let alone Lamar, let alone Hamilton, Roquan, Matabike, Marlon, Awuzie. Did I leave anybody out? I don't know. Like, so you've taken the guts of the team, the top six earners on the team, and taken them out. I would say that if you take the top six of any guys out of any team, they might get their ass beat 44-10 at home, especially if it includes the quarterback, because it will, if it's the top six guys. I don't know what I expect of them, but I do know the Harbaugh administration, because he thinks I've been a little unfair to him from what I from the text I've been getting lately, that I hate him. It sounds like everybody hates the defensive coordinator this week. I heard he got booed. Everybody's getting booed. I just think to the depth of the team and to their ability in the past to have a second squad, be able to come in and play a little bit or a lot. This is a bad time for them to have $25 million players hurt when the Simpsons and the Buchanans just aren't ready to be that player. You know what I mean? They're just not. And Same thing with Wiggins or any of the younger guys, Starks, the guys they've drafted. They're not ready to be veteran players. And that's not me making an excuse. It's just what my eyes witnessed, which is who are these guys running around and they're just not ready to play? And that's accountable, unprofessional draft. It's all of the above, but this is not a fire drill. They're 1-4. They're getting their ass kicked and they're getting exposed for what happens when $25 million football players can't get on the field.
That's fair, but I would also say their defense was playing at a lousy level even before those guys had hurt. So I'm not going to give Zach Orr and the coaching staff a pass. I'm not going to give Eric DaCosta a pass because, well, how many times in the offseason did you hear me talk about this need, this team's need for a veteran number three safety to add to the roster? And I was thinking about it more so in terms of being able to play three safety looks in sub packages. But I mean, Kyle Hamilton goes down and you've got a rookie first round pick. And an undrafted rookie. I love Ruben Lowry. It's a great story. An undrafted rookie is your number three safety for a Super Bowl roster. It's not good enough. If there were one, not one, if one of the relative questions and concerns about this football team, really for years now, but no different going into 2025, pass rush, edge rushers. A second-round rookie is the only meaningful addition they made. Now,
They
not to say
drafted Mike Green now.
they
So this
did.
was supposed to
They did.
be, right? I
They
mean, this
did.
is what happens when you have these second through sixth round picks who have to get on the field as rookies. They got to show up a little bit. I mean,
And
they
that's
got
my
to show
point.
some sort of spark, right?
So, I mean, but and you know, I think the world of Zach Orr. I like Zach Orr a lot personally. I mean, I can remember sending him a text, a couple different texts in the months after he had to retire, just to say, I'm sorry for you, I'm praying for you, all that, so it's
Oh, one of the really
nothing personal.
good. I haven't talked to Zach in 4 years since they threw
But
me out of the building, but I like Zach a lot.
we have to call a spade here, Nestor. This defense was a disaster early on last year. And okay, they figured it out and it seemed as simple as Marcus Williams out. Ardarius Washington in, Kyle Hamilton playing a little more of a natural conventional safety, and
And they
they
did call
figured
Dean Pease along the way, too. Don't
they
forget
did.
that.
They
Yeah.
did, and it's fair to acknowledge that's why I asked Zach Orr, this past week. I said, hey, it was right around a year ago at this time where you guys brought in Dean Pease. I didn't necessarily frame it in the sense of, okay, are you going to bring him back or are you going to bring someone else in? But what are you guys doing in terms of, is there consideration to shuffling responsibilities? Some fresh eyes on
Is
certain
Chuck
parts of.
Pagano out there running around? Do you see him?
He's their secondary coach. I mean, and their secondary has been bad. I mean, look, I'm gonna say something right now that, and again, the injuries have a huge part to deal with this, and I get it. They had five rookies starting on Sunday, right? I mean, that's,
You get what you get.
but at the same time. Roquan Smith wasn't playing well. Marlon Humphrey might have been the worst player among their starters the first four games of the season.
So we're waiting for a cavalry that's not going to be such a thing.
I mean, you hope it's the cavalry, but at the same time, my question is, why are those guys playing so poorly? Okay, are they all collectively washed up at the same time, or is there something bigger going on here in terms of coaching, in terms of the overall vibe of the football team? However you want to categorize it, I mean, this goes back to the fourth quarter of the Buffalo game, which was, by the way, only a month ago. I mean, it's kind of wild to think the Ravens went from being up 15 with 5 minutes to go in the Sunday night opener, looking, defense, mediocre defense through the first three quarters aside, looking like the best team in football that so many thought they were going to be, right? The popular Super Bowl pick. And to see what's transpired since then, I mean, it's shocking. I mean, it really is. But I, as much as the injuries are absolutely a huge factor here, they absolutely are. I can't put it all on that. And when it's as bad as it looks Sunday, yeah, I am going to question what's going on from a coaching standpoint. I mean, John Harbaugh said himself that they had a good week of practice, in his mind, and he did not expect them to play that way. I flat out asked them, so what do you do as a coach then when how you're practicing and what you think about the level at which you're practicing, when that doesn't align with what you see on the field, how do you marry those two things? How do you adjust? And, I mean, I didn't really expect him necessarily to have the perfect answer there. I mean, they're not trying to go out there and lose, right? They're not trying to go out there and be the worst defense in the history of the franchise, which they, quite frankly, are on a fast track to being. I think I saw they're on track to be what, maybe the first team in NFL history to give up 600 points in a season or
Well,
whatever it
dude,
is. I
what
mean,
curtails it? They have no pass rush. There's no hope of one. They're not great at run stopping, and the secondary is decimated, not very good.
yeah,
So
man.
speak up. What's good about it, right?
I
What's
mean,
better than the 44 points that they gave up that could easily have been 60?
yeah, I mean that and that's what's tough right now. I mean, again, on offense, look, I mean, we talked about this even prior to the Kansas City game. We talked about this with, we talked about this, frankly, how they played against Cleveland. Offensively, they weren't great in that game until second half. They started to make, Lamar made some good throws, and obviously they pulled away. But that was much more a defense and special teams driven game there. But that lone exception, I mean, that is the only thing this defense is hanging its hat on right now. It's Cleveland. I mean, they've already benched their 40-year-old. I mean, God bless Joe Flacco. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor. He should never have to pay for a meal here the rest of the time he walks into Baltimore, even though he certainly has the money to do it. But it was a 40-year-old quarterback who's, let's call a spade, he's washed up, and they were intimately familiar with, talking about the coaches on this staff and even some, not too many players left from that era. But so that's the only performance you can hang your hat on whatsoever defensively. That's where, no, I'm not going to just only point to the injuries and say, oh, well, the defense, they're just really hurt right now. No, they were bad before, and now it's worse because of the injuries, of course. So this is, as I said, the silver lining continues to be that Madubuike is the only season-ending injury they've had. I mean, even Ardarius Washington, as of the last update, which has been a while, there's thoughts that he could be back by December, right? So, I mean, you might even get him back into the mix by then. I mean, who knows? But you're going to get these guys back, but you're 1-4 and looking very distinctly like it's going to be 1-5, unless all these guys make miraculous recoveries here. Yeah, you'll have the bye week and the schedule softens up. And I'll point this out. This won't be the first time nor the last time I point this out to you, Nestor. The LA Rams were 1-4 last year, and they made it to the divisional round and gave Philadelphia their toughest game in the postseason on the way to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. The Rams gave them easily they were the most formidable out of the four teams that they played, or I guess three teams that they played on their way to winning a Super Bowl. So it can be done. But man, with what we've seen and it getting progressively worse these last 3 weeks now, I'm wondering what's going on between the ears. I'm wondering what's under the hood. I'm wondering where's the leadership, from John Harbaugh on down. It's not good. I mean, it really is not good. And this is where you start to question. Are guys going to trust each other out on the field? And I'm not talking like dissension in a personal way, where, it gets personal and nasty with guys necessarily, but more so, do I trust my teammates? Do I trust my coaches? Do my coaches trust me or my
Well,
teammates?
they didn't trust Jair Alexander. They never put him back on the field,
Sure.
right? So, there is a point where the coaches look and say, do we trust? Do we believe? Felt to me like nobody believed in Cooper Rush. I'll say that. Like it felt like the level of confidence with him walking out on the field was, we've watched this guy practice for 6 months and we can't win with this guy. I mean, I know you didn't,
I wasn't impressed.
You have not had good vibes about Cooper Rush, even though he's got a great last name and Geddy Lee's signing books at the Negro Baseball Library on Saturday, which if I would have known, I'd have gone.
Yeah, I mean, and as you've already pointed out, I am not the guy that screams and howls about the quality of the backup quarterback, but at the same time, they gave him a little bit of more money than Josh Johnson made last year, right? And this is the scenario. Let me pump the brakes a little bit on that. If Lamar Jackson's going to, in a vacuum, Lamar Jackson's going to miss two, three, maybe four games, you sign Cooper Rush with the thought that he can help you win one or two and keep the season afloat at whatever point, whether it's September, October, or the first 2 weeks in December, and you're trying to get Lamar right for a playoff run, right? I mean, whatever the scenario is. So from that standpoint, yeah, there needs to be some expectation. Otherwise, just keep Devin Leary as your backup as the veteran minimum, or as the minimum for a player, in his, well, I guess it would be in his first full season as a pro. So there needs to be some semblance of expectation. And I would say even on offense, I know it's a big one, but they weren't missing as many players on offense as they were on defense. Did like to be able to run the ball. And this is where I'll go back to the Derek, Sunday was supposed to be, that's another reason why you signed Derrick Henry last year. Because he's supposed to be so transcendent and so great. And stay with me. This isn't a criticism of Derrick Henry. When he's supposed to be so transcendent, so great that, I mean, look at the quarterbacks he played with in Tennessee. He didn't have a Lamar Jackson that was keeping running lanes open a split second longer than what you might be accustomed to. I mean, Tannehill was the best quarterback he played with in Tennessee, and he played with some other, frankly, some pretty lousy quarterbacks there, and still was this amazing 2,000-yard rusher and guy that's on his way to the Hall of Fame, right? The offensive line, I mean, they're not blocking at all. It's one thing to talk about last year. They progressed. The pass protection, I mean, certainly have there been times where Lamar Jackson's held on to the ball too long, or maybe not found as hot, or something wasn't, something was amiss in terms of pre-snap as far as your protection, and how much of that is on Todd Monken, how much of that is on Lamar Jackson, how much of that is on Tyler Linderbaum. I'm sure there are instances where you could point to any of those three individuals in terms of how a game's going, but I mean, they got nothing going. They couldn't run the ball at all. And then, got to the point where you're down so many points, it's not really the practical way of trying to even hope to get back in the football game. But this running game has trended in the wrong direction since week one, even with
It's
Lamar
trended
on the
in the wrong
field.
direction since Patrick Ricard's not been around too, to some degree,
Well,
right?
then, yeah, sure. But I will say this. I mean, this can't be that you must have everything perfectly aligned, or you can't function. I mean, that's not realistic either. I mean, I'll say this, and this is part of why skepticism is warranted. Even if you're of the thought that, okay, win or lose on Sunday, they're going to go into the bye. Lamar's going to have a week to rest. Roquan Smith's going to have a week to rest. Marlon Humphrey, you could go down the list, and you look at the schedule, and they're going to play. They're going to come out of the bye week, and they're going to play the Bears, who aren't very good. They're going to play Miami, who, okay, has shown a little bit of a pulse here of late, but is not very good. They're going to play the Vikings, who, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Carson Wentz, their quarterback play hasn't been nearly good enough. They're going to play Cleveland, which, they're starting a rookie at quarterback now. So go down the list, and you can talk yourself into that. But yeah, these injuries that they're dealing with right now, they're not season ending other than Matabike, but there's no guarantee you're going to go through the rest of the season without injuries then, right? You're going to have some of that. And that's why you heard me lament over and over throughout last offseason of the squandered opportunity of just how great of health they remained in last year until the Zay Flowers thing at the very end of the regular season. And I get it, the timing for that stunk. Maybe they win in Buffalo if they have Zay
Yeah,
Flowers
one
over
injured
Tua.
wide receivers. They're a long way from that right now,
But
right?
yeah, right. I mean, their defense was intact. So that's where I just look at this thing, and it's I'll again I'll continue to talk about the injuries in the same way that I continue to talk about the injuries for the Orioles, because it's absolutely a massive part of the story, but it's not the whole story. And what's most troubling is it's not even for me that I say, oh, the Ravens are 1-4 because they're injured, right? Because the injuries didn't really pile up until in game against Kansas City, when it was already
They were 1-3
going.
by the time they got injured.
Yeah. So, but those injuries mean a heck of a lot when you're trying to climb out of this, when you're trying to figure out, oh my goodness, I mean, we just got our butts kicked by the Houston Texans, and now the Rams are coming in off a week where they're ticked off with the way they played, and they have extra rest, and they're a more, not as good of a defense, but certainly a much better offense than what Houston has, at least in my mind, with their running game. I mean, I haven't mentioned it, and it's kind of bad on my part. I mean, they've got to stop the run. They're getting pushed around every single week. I mean, we can talk about the pass rush and everything else, but they're not stopping the run at all. And when you talk about that, when you're not running the ball and you can't stop the run, that right there, regardless of all the other details in between, that right there is a dangerous formula in terms of you're not getting many plays and that your opposition is staying on the field and you can't get off the field. And we saw that again. One third down stop the entire first half. So,
Well, you know, the other team's punter doesn't have to leave the hotel room,
yeah,
right?
midway through the
Literally.
fourth, he didn't punt until midway through the fourth quarter, right? I mean, Houston and Kansas City each punted once, one time in these last two
By the
games
way, the
against
only
the
stat
Ravens.
I heard over the weekend, and not to digress because we're going to take a break anyway, Luke's here. We could talk about the 1-14. The Jets have gone 5 weeks without taking the ball away, and that's the first time since 1933. A defensive team has done that. I saw that stat and I'm like,
Wait, what was it again? I'm sorry, you cut
this
out for a
was
second.
on NBC Sunday Night Football that
Okay, the Jets, yeah.
the Jets haven't had a defensive turnover in 5 weeks. It's the
Wow.
first time since 1933 that a team has gone the first 5 weeks of the season without taking the ball away. And I'm like, that seems odd, but then I'm thinking like, you get lucky and punch out a fumble in 5 weeks. 5 weeks is like more than 40% of the old seasons that were 14 games, right? So I 5 games is a lot, but I'm like, that's the weirdest stat ever. But then, you know, we start to get stats here with the Ravens here going into this, and we start talking defensive stats for this team. If you start adding it up over 5 weeks, it's going to look like the worst 5 weeks maybe in the history of the franchise, right? When they're
I
giving
mean,
40 points up a week, right?
oh yeah. I mean, what do we think of? And it's not the gold standard. It's the opposite of that. The opposite of the gold standard for Ravens defense, 1996, right? I mean, a rookie Ray Lewis and Eric Turner and Rob Burnett was hurt. Go down the list. Most of those guys just were bad. I mean, it was a bad, bad defense. This defense has given up way more points per game. Now, 1996 to 2025, it's a different
And they
sport.
didn't have Vinny to bail him out on
Yeah,
Sunday.
but I mean, this team's giving up 35 points a game. I mean, that's so below the bar. And what they've given up, when you look at where they are right now, I mean, they
And they
gave
played
up.
Joe Flacco one of the weeks.
Yeah, right. That was the one representative effort defensively. But they've given up 41 points, 17 points against Cleveland, 38, 37, 44. I mean, that's, as I said, they have already given up, their total points allowed is already greater than the 2000 defense in 16 games. So, one, the 2000 defense, nod to them, and as the Ravens celebrate their 30th season, and two, holy cow. I mean, this is really, really bad. And my final point that I was making a few moments ago is these injuries make it that much more difficult to try to figure this out. And that's where I am a little empathetic towards the coaching staff, but like I said, only so much because, I mean, this is 2 years in a row with Zach Gore, and this defense was in a bad place even before these injuries, if we're being totally honest with ourselves.
All right, Luke, we'll take a break. During the break here, if you're getting coffee, using the restroom, listening to a commercial break, whatever you're doing at Listerland, accountability will be the topic of our next subject matter. And because I heard that from the fan base, and I heard that in a pregnant pause in the Kyle Van Noy press conference. Luke Jones is here. The Ravens still lost 44-10 on Sunday to the Houston Texans. The Los Angeles Rams are still coming in. It is still my birthday this week. It was Luke's birthday last week. I'm going to celebrate enough for both of us here this week. All of our tastiness is out, courtesy of our friends at Curio Wellness, who made me and my wife their guest at Living Classrooms Foundation's Maritime Magic over the weekend. We had a beautiful time down there. So a lot of old friends. Even saw the Red Brick Station mob down there, and I just ran into all sorts of old rock stars and old friends, and Thomas Dolby, and just people doing good things for one of the really great Baltimore institutions, Living Classrooms Foundation. You can look that up at livingclassroomsfoundation.org. I'm a man, James Bond. So I want to give them a shout out because not all the news here is going to be lousy this week because the football team's 1-4. But most of it's going to be lousy, especially as we sit here and watch the Yankees and the Phillies and the Dodgers and the rest of these teams play baseball. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.